Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. That's right. It's a playoff edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, basketball edition. I'm Martin Weiss, joined here with the kid from Kansas City himself, Mark Gunnels. And before we start, I just want to say one thing for me and Eddie Spaghetti. Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go! Mark Gunnels, what say you?
Yeah, I'm not going to be reciting that. I'll tell you that much. And, you know, I will say this, a little background, because me and Martin, we text a lot outside of the show. And you were right on that Royals fade the next day when you said they scored too many runs. They lost the next two games after that in Detroit. And speaking of Detroit, you got some news to talk about, Martin, about
your personal life. I do. First of all, let me tell you this. Whenever a baseball team scores like a big crooked number, like 7, 8, 9 runs, and they don't do it often, just go ahead and fade them the next game. They should have saved some for tomorrow. It's the weirdest phenomena. It's very much the same phenomena that, like, when a star player gets hurt in the NBA and they come back into the lineup the first game, you almost don't want to bet on them. For whatever reason, it's the weirdest thing ever, but they lose that game when the star comes back. It's kind of like the same thing.
Kawhi.
We'll get to that in just a minute. I will be, the news that you were alluding to, is I will be hosting live and local in Detroit on 1270 AM, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 local time, noon to 3 Eastern. Me and J.R. Gamble, we will be hosting The Bad Boys, is the name of the show. Nice. The Bad Boys from midday in Detroit, Michigan, which is the place where I spent my high school and college years and my first job in radio. And actually, believe it or not, in a full circle moment, the show will be originating from the same building that I got my first job out of college at. So it is a very much a full circle moment, and I'll be there in Detroit on May 15th through the 18th to get things off of the ground and host the show in the Sports Rap Radio Studios. It is Sports Rap Radio is the name of the station, 1270 AM.
I love that.
And it'll be podcasted too. So if you listen to this, you can get this times 15, because it'll be 15 hours a week, 3 days a week. I mean, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. If you listen to this, be on the lookout for that as well. You'll find it on my social media, what is it called? Handles. Whatever you kids call the social media.
You're such an old man. You can get me there
at Martin Weiss. I am. I really am. I really am. I'm like, I was just cleaning out my storage unit and I have all these DVDs. Like, I don't even have anything to play these DVDs on. I don't even know if my PlayStation can take DVDs at this point in time. I don't know.
Oh, man. But it's ridiculous. In all seriousness, man, congratulations on that. You know, we always allude to your Detroit background on this show. So, like you said, it's definitely a full circle moment, man. I'm definitely happy for you, man. 100%.
I appreciate it, and I'm excited to do it and excited to get to work. Unlike some of the players and teams that we're about to talk about, they don't have work for a long time. Where would you like to start, Mark Gunnels? Because this is, at the end of the day, an NBA podcast, and just a couple people not playing in the NBA no more.
I mean, it wouldn't be this show if we didn't start off with my beloved Lakers.
Now, I want you, you know what? I'm not going to do this because you did take the time to go ahead and say congratulations. I don't want to rub it in your face or be ugly or nasty, but I just will take this moment. Hear me now, believe me later. When I said that the Warriors and the Lakers were two bad basketball teams, people from all over the country, every corner of this grand experiment we call America, called me crazy. So I didn't know what I was talking about. Oh, you're just a casual. Very much like when J. Cole raps. He said, oh, it goes over your head. You just don't see it. You don't understand it. No. One playoff win for the whole group, Lakers and Warriors, not to mention Kevin Durant and the Suns. We'll mention them in just a minute. But how did it feel to know that Jamal Murray had one of his worst playoff series since this whole run has started for the Nuggets and still got two game winners in a 5-game series? Because it was the best of times and worst of times for Jamal in this series.
It's so annoying. And I mentioned this yesterday. I've never seen somebody that with this type of profile, right? Like we all know, no all-stars, no first team, second team, third team, all NBAs, none of that.
And here's the other, to your point, yeah. When you look at the all-star team, it's not just screaming out, where's Jamal Murray?
No, like it's justified that he's not, it's justified that he's not there. So it's not like, yeah, it's not like I'm saying that he's getting snubbed, but it's just crazy how a guy with that profile in the playoffs, you know, you hear the playoff riser term a lot. We got to use a different one for him because he doesn't miss any clutch shots. I've never seen anything like it before. And these are all jump shots. Not like he's getting cheap layups or a little floater. Like these are difficult shots off of one leg with a hand in his face. And there was never a doubt in my mind. Like when he was dribbling the ball past half court, very methodically, I already said, it's over. It's over. He's not gonna pass it. He's not gonna miss. He's gonna get to a spot. It's gonna look weird. It's gonna look unorthodox, but to him it's not. And it's just frustrating. And then at the end, in classic fashion, right? The one time you want Darvin Ham to have a timeout in his pocket, you don't have a timeout. So I'm like, why did I call a timeout? Why we gotta go full court with 3 seconds left? Oh, now you don't have no timeouts? But any other game, you leave two timeouts in your pocket.
I saw a tweet yesterday. I wish I could remember who sent it, but it said Darvin Ham puts timeouts in his 401k.
And the time you need it the most, just ironically, don't have it. And you don't even get a good look because it was still 3 seconds left. Imagine you had a timeout there. You can get a great look.
To advance the ball, for sure.
Yes.
I did think it was a poetic ending to the Lakers season and then the series. For the ball to end in Torian Prince's hands for the last shot. As Torian Prince has become, he has basically been the avatar for all of the Lakers' problems, right? Like, obviously, the Lakers have way more problems than Torian Prince, but he has become the whipping boy, the poster child for what is wrong with this team? Why is he on the court? Like, but ultimately, I think the reality of the situation is much like the Golden State Warriors, the Los Angeles Lakers have one or two guys who are playing at top 10, 15 in the league level, right? And they just don't have enough horses outside of that. They just don't have enough horses outside of that. Like you saw Austin Reeves motion to there was a possession. I saw it on Twitter. There was a possession where it was like the Dinwiddie, Gabe Vincent, and D'Angelo Russell triumvirate was out there. Couldn't get a good shot. They basically have a shot clock violation or like somebody shot a grenade right as the shot clock was expiring. Austin Reeves looks over at the bench and he's like, put me in, coach, put me in. Like he raises his arms up like what in the hell? He gets up and then proceeds to have a couple, two or three clutch buckets and then just getting, brutalized on the defensive end by Jamal Murray. Couldn't stay in front of him to save his life. But to me, it's just a microcosm of the problems that the Lakers have had really since this time last year, right? Because the whole move was, oh, they got the Russell Westbrook trade. Like, they got a whole bunch back from Russell Westbrook. Like, they ended up just playing the guys that were already on the bench, right, instead of playing Russell Westbrook. Like, Austin Reeves was already there. D'Angelo Russell was already there, you know. And so we saw that, and the team really had an opportunity, I think, to improve along the margins in this offseason and just decided not to. And I think even with all the – Darvin Ham blame that's going around and all of this and that. Like, if this team just had like a bona fide ball handler, who a 3-and-D guy, like a legit 3-and-D guy, I think they'd be a much better team. Or a legit point guard. And I'm not saying it like who is more like D'Angelo's boom and bust, right? You know, who's more like if this team had Mike Conley, they'd be a better team. Flat out.
And I'm glad you said 3-and-D. That's where this team is lacking, you know, outside of LeBron and AD. And I want to start off there. Those guys are still playing at a championship level. So anybody that's saying tear down and just start over, that's ludicrous. Those two guys like you mentioned, they're still playing at top 10, top 15 levels at this league. Anthony Davis at his best is arguably a top five player when he plays like it. He is the way he impacts the game on both sides of the court. But that's the issue. Outside of those two guys, you don't have any two-way players. You have guys that, like Austin Reeves, he's a pretty good offensive player. He did his best defensively, but he's not a guy that you really ideally want to put on Jamal Murray. We know D'Lo doesn't play any defense. Like, you don't have those glue guys, you know, and that's why you missed Vanderbilt. I'm not saying he would have fixed everything, but he is a guy that has a good point of attack defense, can make things difficult for other guys on the other side of the ball. Like, you look at these teams like Minnesota. They have multiple guys that can play both sides of the court, can play good defense, get rebounds, and then still get you 15 to 20 points on any given night. The Lakers don't have guys that are that multifaceted. You know, like in baseball, we're talking about baseball earlier, like a 5-tool guy. You know, guys get you for basketball, it'd be like rebound, points, assists, steals. Like, they don't have those guys on the team outside of the two best players.
Yeah, so I think ultimately, as much as people want to fire Darvin Ham, and did I think that he did a great job coaching this year? No. But I feel like that is just doing something to do it, right? When you look at this roster, it's flawed. If the roster was not as flawed as it is, I think you would be – there's no way that any team in the NBA should beat another team in the NBA 11 times in a row. Like 11, dog? 11? That's crazy. And it's – after they did finally won, it's like, oh, you know what? You know, they say it's real hard to beat a team 12 times in a row. Like, it's hard to beat a team 3 times in a row, much less like, and it's not like, again, you had Aaron Gordon having a great game 3, but really this was on the backs of Michael Porter Jr., who's third option at best in Denver, And Jokic just kind of doing the same kind of thing, but not necessarily in the same way that he was in the Western Conference Finals of last year. Because last year, he had moments where he felt unguardable. This year, it didn't feel that way to me watching these games. Like, was he great? Absolutely. But it wasn't Haley Van Lith, throw my hands up because there's nothing I can do about this. Like, it felt like there was something, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It wasn't quite as just demoralizing watching Jokic play this round.
To be honest, Michael Porter Jr. was the most demoralizing player from a Laker fan perspective, because every time he makes a bucket, you know how you're talking about, we talked about before, like guys that you feel them, like it's impactful. Like, you'd be like, oh, Trae Young had 30? I didn't even realize that. Like, mm-hmm. Michael Porter's 15 is a loud 15. Like, that 15 hurts when he scores 15. Like, it's like a grenade every time he shoots a 3 and it goes in. It just punches you right in the chest.
Speaking of punching right in the chest, basketball is a young man's game.
Oh, I know where you're going. I know what series you're going to now.
No. I'm still on this one.
Oh, I thought you were going to Ant-Man.
No, basketball is a young man's game. And I'll tell you what, the Lakers are lucky that they didn't win this series, because they would have ran into Minnesota and Anthony Edwards would have tried to murder all, like he says in every post game, I'm trying to kill everything in front of me. But Michael Porter Jr. was scared to go up with LeBron, and then Jamal Murray was not scared to go up on LeBron. And I just was sitting there thinking, it's like, to the point that we've just been talking about, is how is there nobody else who's contesting this shot? Like, how does it fall on LeBron to contest this shot? how is it that there's nobody else back here? How is it? It's like, because at first it's like, ooh, LeBron just got dunked on. Then it's kind of like, wait, what's going on here for real, for real? Like, where's the defense?
Why is a 39-year-old man in that position anyway?
Exactly.
And then Jamal Murray did the LeBron celebration with the shoulders. You see that?
It's one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite celebrations in general. And the fact that he did it to LeBron, that's why I say the Lakers are actually lucky. Because if they had beaten Denver, right, then everybody would have been talking about how they're racing to the finals. And if Minnesota, who is a by far better team, I know you would have been Mr. the Lakers are going to get to 6. No, and if Minnesota, who is by far the better team, because there's not a single soul on that roster that could pretend to stay in front of Anthony Edwards, which means he was going to be at the rim doing all types of disgusting things and then talking crazy. And, you know, I don't think it would be the same response as Kevin Durant, where he was like, good one. You know what I'm saying? Take some, get some. Like, I don't think it would have, I think LeBron would have been ready to shoot him. Anthony Davis would have been ready to strangle that man and try to throw him out of the room.
Well, while we're here, let's get right into it, man, because, and
correct me, well, I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you this question to transition to that.
Go ahead.
Who's more screwed, the Lakers or the Suns?
Oh, the Suns. It's not even debatable to me, because the Bradley Beal contract, it's probably the worst contract in the league right now.
Like, it definitely took the reins from Chris Paul. Like, first it was John Wall, then it was Chris Paul, now it's Bradley Beal. The worst contract in the NBA.
Yeah, and like, the only way they can improve their roster is by trading Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. Because what else can they do? They're stuck with Bradley Beal. Then nobody's going to touch him. And he's a shell of himself at this point. He didn't do anything in that series. I forgot he was out there. No,
he did something. He had 4 fourth quarter turnovers. And then how dare you try to shake my hand, Frank Vogel?
He did nothing productive, I should say, for a Phoenix perspective. But real quick, though, because, you know, we're going to get on this series, obviously. And you commented on my Facebook status because I said nobody in the world saw Minnesota sweeping Phoenix before this series. And then Martin Wise said, don't say everybody.
No, I said nobody with a question mark.
Oh, okay. You insinuated that you predicted a sweep, and I do not recall that at all on this network.
I had Minnesota in 5.
Oh, okay. It was 5. Okay.
I gave them the gentleman sweep, because I don't like predicting a sweep is, you know, the last time we predicted a sweep, you end up having to do a TikTok dance. So I said, let me not put them in this position again. I did say Minnesota in 5. I just thought that they were the much deeper team. And even though you're playing less people, This is actually exactly what I said at the moment, because I was like, this sounds familiar. The Suns, you know, they say you play 6 guys and play 7, trust 6 in the playoffs. The Suns only trust 3. And it turned out you can really only trust 2. But you got to put 5 on the floor at one time. And the Timberwolves, for all their lack of attention, they have a solid 8-man rotation that they feel good about, and really 9, depending on who gets in foul trouble.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we're going to talk about Minnesota, because we know that you're the Anthony Edwards advocate on this podcast.
Hashtag no MVP votes.
But, you know, there's a thing that Martin says about the John Calipari guards. You know, we got Jamal Murray.
Calipari killers.
Can you at least say Devin Booker went out as a killer? He had 49 points in game 4, even though they lost. But he did hoop. He hooped game 4.
Game 4, he was going. But the thing about Book, man, and I like, when he's cooking, there's few better shows in the NBA. He doesn't do a good enough job of, A, involving the rest of the team when he's not playing well. Right. Like when you see Anthony Edwards, was it game two of this series where he was like 3 for 12 from the floor for like 18 points, something like that, of free throws, and just shot poorly the rest of it. But he's out there blocking shots. He's out there with 7 assists. He's moving the ball. He's playing defense. Like, that's what Book has to do to step to the next level. And I think, like, two or three years ago, I was right there with you. But he laid too many stinkers in this one for me to go ahead and staple him with the Calipari killer. He tried, though. He tried. I respect it, because he got to, look, it's elimination. Forget all of this. I'm going to do what I do best, and that's score the bucket. So it was hard for me to argue with it, but he's not on the top tier of the Calipari killers no more. That one right now is reserved for Jamal Murray. And I don't think I'm trying to think who else had it in the NBA right now. But I think it's Jamal Murray and then the rest of the field. Because it's like, it's not about how good as a player they are. It's like their clutch factor and their toughness. And you know what I'm saying?
Hold on,
like,
what about SGA now? Come on now, show some respect.
Look, we'll have to see it. SGA had, very little competition this postseason so far.
See, I don't want to jump there just yet. I'm glad you said that because the Pelicans' best player, Brandon Ingram, was out there and now wasn't that much competition.
Do you want to do this now or you want to do this later? Because we could do it now.
Forget it. We're here. Let's do it now.
So here's the thing. And it's actually the same thing that Joel Embiid is going through right now. He is clearly hurt. However, he is playing through injury. Why? Because that is what your best player should want to do. Should strive to be on the court with his guys, trying his best. Now, when we talk about Joel Embiid, we're not talking about his knee, even though we watch him limp up and down the court. It's more about, man, two shot attempts in the fourth quarter? Man, why doesn't he go and put his big butt on the block and back people down? All that. We don't discuss the knee. We discuss his play. The difference is, much like another number one overall pick for the New Orleans Pelicans, he doesn't play Zion Williamson. That's the issue. We would be critiquing his play if he was playing, but he's not playing. So it's like, how are you going to hate on my beat up Honda Civic when you taking the bus? Like, at least I got a car.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. And this is what I was trying to convey to you via text message yesterday. We're going back and forth for context because, you know, Martin's anti-Zion, or in his mind.
I have been of the opinion.
He tells the truth about Zion.
We'll get it straight. Hold on. Let's see. As soon as the New Orleans Pelicans got the number one overall pick, I said I would take Ja Morant. And I've stapled on that. And people, that was at the time, was an opinion that was held by absolutely no one. Right? Like, no one, it was Zion is going to be the next LeBron. Zion is the next. Very much the same conversation that we had about Victor Wembanyama before he got into the league. It was similar hype levels of Zion Williamson. Did you see his shoe? You know, like all of that. I always said I would take Ja Morant first. And then history played out.
And to be honest with you, I after this latest injury, I texted you. I said, you win. But the door was open for the conversation to be brought up again. Because with Ja's gun stuff going on, he's hurt now. If Zion did play this postseason, I think you would even be willing to say that you're open for the discussion to be rehashed again.
Because he didn't.
But he didn't. And that's the frustrating part about it.
That's the problem.
He was playing the best ball of his young NBA career up until that point. I mean, he had just made the shot to tie the game against the Lakers in the play-in. I don't know what happened. But what I'm really talking about right now is you keep always saying that Brandon Ingram's the best player on the Pelicans. He's the best player on the Pelicans. And I feel like your only argument to that is he's available, even though he was hurt this year for a long amount of time as well, but he did play in the playoffs. So now you're going
to
say
what happened
that.
When he got hurt? They went from the five seed to the play-in.
Well, they obviously need each other, right? Because without Zion, let me read you Brandon Ingram's stats in this playoff series. 14 points a game on 34% shooting, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Shot 25% from three. And in the closeout game in New Orleans, your old stomping grounds, he had 8 points on 2 of 14 shooting.
You know, B.I., I need that to be 2 for 20. Honestly, I need that to be 2 for 20.
So I get
that was honestly my biggest beef with him.
Yeah.
This series, because he's a flawed player. Like, he has no first step, right? So he's not getting by anybody. So which, if you're not getting by anybody, even, and it's not about being athletic, like getting a first step on somebody. Like, it's not about athleticism. It's not about explosion. That's all the stuff that happens at the rim. Like, a guy like Luka Doncic, his first step is elite. He also runs a 6.7 40, right? He's not fast by any stretch, but his first step is elite. It's all about angles and so on. That's the thing that B.I., if he could get his first step to be able to get by people, it would open up so much of his game. But he just doesn't do it. But honestly, he was averaging somewhere about 15 to 17 shots a game in this four-game series, that needed to go up. He needed to shoot more.
Yeah, actually, it was less. I'm looking at it right now. He only averaged 13.8 shot attempts in this series.
Yeah, so like that's what I'm saying. He needed to shoot the ball more because it ain't coming from nobody else. Like,
not from CJ
McCollum.
You're
going to have to be the lead singer here.
What about CJ McCollum, your boy?
Stop it. I'm telling you. Mush Extra Points Podcast presents World of Wines with CJ McCollum.
Oh,
it's time for you to be a podcaster, pal.
You'll love this stat. So, Brandon Ingram, we'll round it up. He averaged 14 shot attempts. How many do you think CJ averaged in this series?
Probably about the same. What, 10?
18.5. He averaged four more shot attempts per game than Brandon Ingram.
And what was his points average?
17.8.
God, you gotta love it when you a point per shot. That is what they call efficiency in basketball. Like I said, Brandon Ingram, you needed to shoot the ball more, pal. But I mean, ultimately, this Pelicans team, another flawed team. And even with Zion, I think that they would have won a game or two in this series. But let's not take away from the Thunder, who are they remind me, ironically enough, of the Villanova team with Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, and the way that they, all these guys just like fit well together and played well together. And I do have to say this, hand up my bad. I was wrong about Chet Holmgren.
Wow.
Wow,
that's breaking news. I wish we had like a sounder right now, like a breaking news sounder. Because if you guys know the background of me and Martin with Chet Holmgren, it's kind of similar to Zion. But Chet actually made you say my bad. Wow, I commend.
I thought Zion was ultimately forever going to be too big to play basketball. I thought Chet was too small to play basketball. And I still think that the Nikola Jokic's of the world, the Joel Embiid's of the world, will just put him through the rim and deal with him. But, like, they're putting everybody through the rim when they want to. For him to be able to hold his own against Jonas Valanciunas, who is a legit big man in this league, and basically played Valanciunas off the court a few different times, that was impressive to me. And, Valanciunas would bang and it feel like Chet would go flying away, but he was right back, bang, fly away, right back, bang, right there, contest the shot. So I had to give him up. You know,
that's not really Valanciunas though. That's Travis Kelce.
The allegations are hard to beat.
Bro, it's really crazy. Like, when they show him at the free throw line with that close up, bro, I cannot see a difference. It's scary.
So, I was going to say, which series do you want to go to next? Because we haven't spent any time so far discussing the East.
You know where I want to go. Your agenda's alive, man. Congrats, Orlando. 2-2.
Magic and six.
And if you don't know, if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, Martin has been very anti-Cleveland because they intentionally tanked for this matchup. And it's
yellow-bellied cowards.
And if you know anything about Martin, he is always a proponent of win the damn game. Don't try to manipulate a matchup. So the fact that they did that, those are bad guys for Martin now. And he's been full on the Orlando train. Didn't look good after the first two games, but here we are, 2-2. How do you feel?
That's why they schedule seven of them, baby. That's why they schedule seven. And I'll just say this, what a hot take. Win the game. Whoa, what a revolutionary opinion. I think you should try to win instead of lose. Who would have thought? You know, maybe, you know, every other team should think this too. Maybe it would change their, maybe that's what the Lakers need to do. Think win instead of think lose. But no, the Cavaliers, cowards, all of them, a lot of them, for the reason that they've tanked this thing. And I hope the Bogner brothers and Paolo Banchero and Jalen Suggs and third runner-up for coach of the year, Jamal Mosley, I wish like hell they can get stomped in the second round because they deserve it. Whoever wins the series is getting stomped in the second round. And I hope it's the Magic because the Cavaliers don't deserve to win a playoff series after this. How about, you know, I heard today people talking about, oh, how do you fix the Lakers? And it's like, oh, well, the way you fix the Lakers is with Donovan Mitchell. I don't know if people watch Donovan Mitchell games, because he seems to be more up and down than a car with hydraulics. Like, those last two games, this series, he's been invisible. First two, he was incredible.
Yeah. And I think there's a fundamental issue with the way this roster is constructed, and it starts with those two guards. Because when Donovan Mitchell was not playing, you saw Darius Garland play at an all-star level. And I've been a big Darius Garland fan since college, since Vanderbilt. You know, he went to skip school. This guy was the fifth overall pick in the 2019 draft. And he's not shooting that much. You're talking about shot attempts. He's only averaging 10 shot attempts a game in this series. And I think there needs to be more balance between him and Donovan Mitchell. It feels way too much Mitchell-centric for me, because Garland, he's a bucket within his own right. He's only averaging 12 points a game in this series. Like, this is a guy that's averaging 18 on the year. So I get it. You know, it was a good look with the Mitchell trying to add another piece there, some scoring punch. But I think they went way too far left into the Donovan Mitchell thing of this aspect, and they forgot their own precious jewel that they have in the 24-year-old Darius Garland.
Yeah, I think you figure, again, the playoffs are about bucket getters, but as we saw in Phoenix and now in Cleveland, if those bucket getters don't work together, it's going to be tough to go ahead and get things done. I think the pairing of Sexton and Garland probably was a little bit better than the pairing of Mitchell and Garland, because they don't play together. They don't work together. And I think partly you have Donovan Mitchell, who's like supposed to be a supermax guy. Like, I think some of what I see does not necessarily jive with the opinion. Like, can he go off as some of the best of with some of the best of them in the league? But consistently, like, if he was in a place like that they keep clamoring for him, like New York or LA, I think that he would become very much like the Russell Westbrook of the Lakers, where it's like, this guy is the, Taurean Prince who preceded him. Like, this guy is the blame getter for everything. I could see that happening to him.
Yeah. And I do want to say that I still got Cleveland winning this series, because
cowards.
I think it's gonna be one of those series where the home team wins every game. Like, I'm at that point. Like, I fully expect Cleveland to win tonight. I think Orlando wins game six, and then Cleveland wins game seven. But this is not, like I said, even before the series started, it was not really me loving Cleveland. It was more of me downing Orlando. But I will give them credit. They show a lot of heart. I thought they would win one game at home. Didn't expect them to win both of them. So you got a best of three now.
You had that backwards. The team that won one game at home was the Philadelphia 76ers. But I can understand where it could have been confusing, because if you happen to be watching the last two games of the Knicks 76ers series with the volume on, it's hard to tell who's got home court and who doesn't.
That was a great transition there. You're really good at this thing. I see why you're on the radio. So I'm embarrassed, because last week I was very,
you do
very
it with the
loud.
Same energy of I'm embarrassed, the same way you guaranteed it.
I don't got it in me right now. And I know Eddie Spaghetti is just smiling right now as he's listening to this. But I was very loud last week in saying that I guarantee that the Sixers would win both games in Philly. And gosh darn it, did I get pretty close, right? But no, they didn't happen. Jalen Brunson finally woke up from the ashes. Score, what was it, 49 or whatever it was he had in game four?
I think it was
four.
87 points in two games.
Yeah, he loves.
Like I said, I think that three that rolled in at the end of the quarter, at the end of the fourth quarter, is going to get him on a roll. And boy, was he.
Yeah, and then when I think about it more, that is kind of home for him, right? Because he went to Villanova, so it's right in his backyard. Probably a lot of Villanova fans that was in the crowd too, because Josh Hart went there as well. So it's kind of like a homecoming for them when they go to play in Philadelphia. So, yeah, it's not looking good for my Sixers prediction at this point, down 3-1. But I will say, though, I'm not all the way down on them yet. I'm not giving up yet, because the way these games have been going, they can go either way, man. So this is one of those series where a 3-1 comeback is not without the realm of possibility, because all the games are coming down to the wire. Like, game two is the one that really stings. It kind of reminds me of the Lakers game too.
I was about to say, Denver. Sounding like a true Lakers fan, convincing because yourself that
they were up
all five. These games are close. Like that matters somehow in the grand scheme of when you're just counting wins and losses.
It can give you, it gives you some optimism because you know that you are in a position to win these games. Like they had no business losing game two. They're up five with like 30 seconds left. That was unprecedented. That was an epic collapse of all proportions. So here's the thinking, you know, it's going to be tough, obviously, back in New York. But if you can somehow steal this one, I guess you go back home, Martin, right? In Philadelphia. And then if you force a game seven, then all bets are off. So we'll see. I got to play on this game later, so I'm going to tease that. But
going back home for Philadelphia is like a house, you know, those license plates that say a house divided and it would be like LSU on one side and Alabama on the other.
Yeah.
That's what home is like for Philadelphia right now. It's like mom and dad got divorced, but neither one wants to move out of the house. So depending on where you are.
That kind of reminds me of my home growing up because my dad, he's a Mizzou fan and I ended up being a KU fan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your parents got divorced and they never moved out.
Oh, no. No, they've been happily married for about 30 years now. We're good on that front.
All right, let's wrap up the Eastern Conference with this last game because I told you last week, Mark Gunnels, I told you. I tried to tell him, Boston, take care of business, get it over with. And because you know what? If you don't and you play around, bad stuff is going to happen. Sure enough, in what should have been the last game of this series, last night, Kristaps Porzingis off the court. Jason Tatum rolling ankle, shooting the ball after the play is whistled dead, which, by the way, flagrant foul for that is ridiculous. Like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. This should have been a technical on Horford for pushing him afterwards, and that should have been that. That's absurd. But anyway, I told the Boston Celtics we're playing around because now look at you. You're missing Kristaps Porzingis, and now everybody in the Eastern Conference is looking like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, so I was looking to see because I know he's supposed to get his testing today to see if there's any updates. Shams actually said about an hour ago the testing showed is more of a calf issue, potentially a strain. Porzingis is going to get testing today, an MRI today. That'll give them the full scope. And that was about an hour ago. So we're still waiting.
Let's just take a minute and say a prayer for everybody's calves in the NBA because they seem to be dropping like flies. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to lose this series just off of their calf muscles.
Yeah. But I will say this, if you're a Boston fan out there listening right now, I think Porzingis can take as much time as he wants because I think even without him, who's beating him in the East 4 times? The Knicks in the conference finals? Is that your best bet?
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. I'll say this. If there's a team to do it, it would be the Knicks. It would be the Knicks.
But that's
the Knicks are going to rebound all those missed threes. When they go on a stretch where they miss 5 threes in a row, the Knicks are going to rebound all of them and get good shots on the other end.
Okay. And then let's say I play this game with you, because I still think the Boston would beat them even without Porzingis, but it would definitely be a much greater challenge. But even if that is the case, we both agree, because you already said it, they're going to wipe the floor with whoever they play in the next round. I think even without Porzingis, I think you agree on that. So you still buy yourself at least, 2 to 3 weeks?
Yeah, so, but you know, this Boston team, man, they for whatever reason, they don't feel like killers. Like that's what the Thunder did that impressed me last night. Not giving the Pelicans a chance to win.
Martin, you got
to
admit, after that, the kind of one-off game, they handled business in Miami. And when I thought maybe one of those games would be close because it's in South Beach, you know, it's a pretty good crowd down there. They spanked their butts both those games in South Beach. I was actually kind of impressed.
But the point is they be having one-offs. That's the point. That's the point. They have these one-offs. You know what I'm saying? And you only need one or two one-offs in a series, and then the ball doesn't bounce your way, right? Like, that's the way you talk yourself into a close sweep with the Lakers. It's like, Jamal Murray doesn't shoot the best he's ever shot before, and then he goes out, has a bad performance, and then, boom, hits a game winner, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like these things, like, you have to kill your food immediately. That's my thing on that. Pacers and the Bucks. What a
talk about injuries.
I mean, dog. Like when I picked this series, I picked Milwaukee to win. I figured that Giannis was going to miss most of it, but Glorilla himself—that's a surprise. I was like, "What?" And then Doc was just in the post game, like, "Yeah, I think it's his Achilles." Like, what? Like, how? But yeah, I think that one is a series that I think, you know, if you picked the Pacers beforehand, congratulations, you picked the winner. But you want to talk about something that I don't think anybody saw coming. It's the mass amount of injuries that the Milwaukee Bucks have suffered in the last, I don't know, what, 128 hours?
Yeah, so it sucks because I can't even brag on this series because I picked the Pacers to win in six, assuming that Dame was obviously going to be there. And I assumed that Giannis was going to miss the entire series. That's why. That's basically how I analyzed this series from that injury perspective. So now it's over tonight. I mean, you know, I think it's a dead body for Indiana. I mean, not Indy, for Milwaukee. You know, it's just too much to overcome. Even, you know, you got Chris Middleton limping through the finish line during the second half of last game. So I just don't see a pathway to where this gets extended past tonight. And, yeah, I think we're on a collision course now to tomorrow at the East, assuming the Sixers don't come back from 3-1, which I still have a little bit of hope for. That's going to be Knicks Celtics in the conference finals. And talk about like the East Coast, right? Because both those cities got a rivalry in baseball. You know, we're talking about baseball earlier, right? With the Red Sox and Yankees. So I think it's kind of fitting that, you know, you get those two cities potentially with the right for the NBA finals on the line.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I do know one thing. It's just Milwaukee, just talk about in like a lion, out like a lamb. This team was 30-13 at one point in the season. And now they're not going to win two playoff games.
How do you think Adrian Griffin feels right now?
Vindicated. I think he feels vindicated. That's how I would feel. I would be rooting on their downfall expeditiously. Even if I was fired with cause and for good reason, I would feel very vindicated. We've somehow talked all this whole show without touching on the most competitive series so far.
I think we saved the best for last. I think we did that on purpose. Well,
it's kind of interesting because so did the Mavericks. They also saved their best for last as they wait until they, like, what if the Mavericks were just like, guys, in the pregame huddle, we're just like, guys, let's only get down by 20 instead of 31 before we come back. Like, let's make it a 20-point margin. Or, like, at halftime, they say, hey, let's score more than 8 points in a quarter. What do you say? All right, ready? More than 8 on 3. 1, 2, 3. More than 8.
I don't know who to be, like, less disappointed in from that game. I'm talking about game 4. The fact that they were even in position and took a lead, actually, in the fourth quarter after being down 31. I was almost more impressed with Dallas, even though they lost, than I was with the Clippers and they won. Because how do you allow them to come all the way back in a playoff game from down 30?
That's one of that. Watching that game gave me.
Nobody deserved to win that game.
No, 100% not. But it gave me a lot more confidence in Dallas than it did in Los Angeles.
100%.
A ton more confidence in Dallas. Because very much like you will. And I know I keep bringing it up, but it just reminds me because, you know, every so often a coach in a loss will talk about, oh, we got this, we got that. The most famously, Darvin Ham saying, we got some adjustments, and then lost the next 10 straight against the Denver Nuggets. But I digress because it's a real thing, right? It's a real thing. Like, that's why you don't quit. That's why when Doc benched his starters with 4 minutes left in a playoff game, I'm like, now's the time to throw in the flag, Doc? Like, I know you're about to go down 2-0, but it's like, dude, like, you know, you might want to see what you got. Like, try to figure out something. Build something for the next game. That, to me, was Dallas building something for the next game. Because, you know, Kyrie can go off for 30 and a half at the drop of a hat. You know, Luka has not been playing a series. Even though his numbers are great, he has not been playing with the same effectiveness as he normally is, especially You jinxed it because you were talking about how I texted you saying that Kyrie hasn't played defense like this in his life because he's out there giving his full-throated best effort on the defensive side of the ball. And you said Luka hadn't either. And then Luka was like the ticket taker at the movies. He was like, here you go, theater 5. Here you go, theater 6. James. You want to go see the floater movie again? All right, here you go. Why don't you go over to theater 10? It starts in 5 minutes.
Yeah, Luka's my guy. So I think very, very highly of him. I think he's the second or third best player in the world behind Jokic. So the fact that his shooting splits right now are what they are is very disappointing. I mean, he even said himself that he feels like he's letting Kyrie Irving down. It kind of felt like when was it J. Cole that said he's letting
down. I was literally thinking, the next thing I was going to say was, well, don't do it twice. Because J. Cole let Nas down twice. Okay? Yeah. So don't let Kyrie down twice.
Yeah. So him saying that, you know, as a Luka believer, I do expect him to have his best game tomorrow night. We're recording on Tuesday, Game 5 out here in Los Angeles. I think he does do that. Kawhi has already been ruled out. Do you see that for Game 5? Mm-hmm. I think he's done. I don't expect to see him at all the rest of the season. Unless they advance, then maybe. But I think he's done for this series for sure, which may be a good thing. I don't know, because he's not a guy that can, I feel like, can just come off the bench cold and just come right in and have a huge impact. I think he has to build up for a few games, and then you don't got time to do that, obviously, in the playoffs, especially with this series being 2-2 right now. So maybe it's in their best interest that he does not play the rest of this series.
Yeah, ain't nobody got time for that. Honestly, though, when y'all just see the Clippers again, if they shoot 50% from three, yeah, they'll win. It's less like every other team in the NBA, you know? But I just don't see that being, especially with the guys that they have, the roster is currently constructed, they just, again, old and slow. That's all I see when I see it out there, old and slow. And the Mavericks don't necessarily play at a breakneck speed, but just in terms of getting to the basket and stopping guys getting to the basket, but it all is going to come down to Luka playing better. Because the first,
yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say, the first couple games of the series, when the Mavericks are rolling, it's Luka, Kyrie getting downhill, throwing lobs, kicking it out to wide open 3-point shooters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do want Luka's three attempts to come down a little bit. I think he can live more in that mid range, even get all the way to the basket. You know, they don't have no rim protectors in for the Clippers that I'm really scared of. I'm not scared of Zubac. And Luka, while he's not the fastest guy, you mentioned his first step. He can get to the rim. He understands angles. He has a big frame, so he can use his shoulders. Because right now he's averaging 12 three-point attempts a game. That's half of his shot attempts. He's shooting the ball 25 times, and 12 of them are threes. So if we can get that number down to about 7 or 8, and then the rest in that mid to layup range area, I would feel a lot better, and maybe your percentage would be a lot better as well, because you're only shooting 38% from the field right now.
Yeah, you know what? I just realized we haven't taken a single break yet. Too much playoff action going on. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to ask you a question, and then we'll go to our lemon pepper parlays.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss bet, maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
All right, Mark. Right now, there's one series set in the playoffs and for the second round. That is the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves. This series will have started by the next time we record. In fact, I think they will have played two games by the next time we record. If not one, and then the second game will be the day we record. What will be the record in the series the next time we talk, and who will be the eventual winner?
Yeah, I just looked it up. So, yeah, it'll be two games already played by the time we record the next time. The first one is Saturday, and then game two would be Monday. So I think by the time
in Denver.
By the time we record on next Tuesday, I think it'll be 1-1. I think Denver wins game one. Minnesota steals game two. But for the overall series, And this may be the best series in the whole entire playoffs, and counting the finals. I mean, which could
don't
be
you really dare say this is actually the Western Conference Finals? I'll strangle you.
It might be. But I don't want to
accept it.
I love Dallas though, so I don't want to do that to Dallas or even OKC. They deserve some credit too. So, but I do think these are the two most complete teams in the West. I think that's fair to say. I think that's absolutely fair to say. But for my series prediction, it's going to be a good one. But I got Denver in seven. I think it goes the whole entire way, Martin. I like Minnesota's depth. I think they got a lot of two-way guys. But it's just hard for me to bet against Denver at home in a game seven in that atmosphere with the championship pedigree that they have. So it's going to be tight. Like, it can go either way, obviously. I'm not down on Minnesota. I got to go in seven games, but I got Denver edging them out.
I'm picking the Timberwolves, and I am going to be pulling my hair and screaming, "Why did you do that, Carl Anthony? What are you thinking, Cat? Like, stop it. Stop the madness." Like, because that's, you know, like the Jordans, stop it. Get some help. Like, because they're going to need him to guard Jokic for periods of time, right? Not too long, but periods in time, because Gobert cannot do it by himself. Nobody can. But there's not a team that is more equipped to play Jokic in the West, hell, in the NBA, to me, than the Timberwolves. And I know everybody looked at this trade like it was crazy, and so did I. But Gobert's been playing out of his mind. Now, Reed is a great ball player as well, also 6'7", 6'11", 7 feet tall, who can stand in front of Jokic. And then Karl Anthony Towns, who is up and down as they come, right? If he can stay consistent and he cannot foul, which is like, you know, I don't know, asking the sun to rise in the West. It's very like, I don't know what the chances are, but I wouldn't bet on it. I'm hoping that he just does it, because like Anthony Edwards said, you know, they need him. They need Karl Anthony Towns to be a major secondary scoring option. They need his floor spacing, and they need him to not be in foul trouble on the bench. And like you said in game four, he's like, "You play well." He's like, "Yeah, because you didn't freaking foul, you know, and stop fouling."
I think the most important player in this series, not just on one side, for everybody involved, I think is Aaron Gordon. Because on one side, I think he's a good matchup on Anthony Edwards. You know, he has the size, has the athleticism to move his feet. He's not going to shut him down, obviously. But if I had to handpick about five guys in the league to put on Anthony Edwards, he'll probably be my top five. I could live with that matchup. But on the flip side, will Minnesota just ignore him and kind of shade Cat to roam on Jokic when Gobert's guarding him and just say, hey, we'll leave Gordon open in the corner because he's the weak link offensively from an outside shooting standpoint, but they're going to need him on the floor for his defense on Anthony Edwards. So that's why it's intriguing to me with Aaron Gordon.
Well, he's got to be the guy to guard Anthony Edwards because Jamal Murray ain't going to be able to do it with any level of consistency.
Michael Porter sure ain't doing it.
Listen, Michael Porter's game has taken steps that I did not even think that he would do, right? After watching him consistently over the last 3 years, he's a much more complete ball player than he was when he broke into the Denver rotation. That ain't ever going to be his thing, though. That ain't ever going to be his bag. Never. But I think Anthony Edwards could give Aaron Gordon all types of hell, honestly.
It's not going to be as sweet as the Phoenix matchup, though. I think we both can agree on that.
Well, Phoenix had nobody to stay in front of them. At least Denver has somebody who fits the bill.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he checks the requirements. Now, will it happen? I don't think so. But, yeah, to me, again, the Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards at this point has shown, in my opinion, that he is going to be an impactful player on the game, regardless of his shooting that night, which is, to me, the true mark of a superstar, right? Can you impact the game when you are not scoring from the field, right? Getting to the free throw line, moving the ball around, getting assists. Did the ball stop with you? You know, and that's not the way the Timberwolves play at all. So I think that, you know, I think they have a great shot in this, and I think a plus 165 for the series, I'll go ahead and take it. I'll go ahead and play that. Why not?
Yeah, it's not bad value at all for a series that I think is going to go seven games. So how many games do you got Minnesota in?
I'll give them seven.
Okay.
Seven leaning six, though.
Okay.
If Jamal Murray is not playing at the level that, if he plays like he played in the first five games of the playoffs, Minnesota's going to win the series.
I agree with that. I agree with that take. But I think he's going to play better in this round. But, yeah.
Because I think Michael Porter Jr., you talk about those versatile guys like Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels sitting in front of Michael Porter Jr. is going to really mess up his shot. That don't mean Michael Porter Jr. is going to stop shooting, but I think it'll mess up his shot. I'm actually probably going to look towards his unders when it comes time to pick these guys. Because you said to have Cat float. Now that I'm really thinking about it, they might put Cat on a guy like Michael Porter Jr. Because Michael Porter Jr. is not going to run to the rim too much. They're about the same damn height. Michael Porter Jr. is not going to run to the rim too much. If you stay with him on a three-point line and just don't jump when you contest shots, you put one of those other two, Alexander Walker or McDaniels, on Aaron Gordon and have them roam and put those 8 feet long arms in the passing lane, because those guys are actually good defenders. Something to think about. Chris Finch will have, when he wakes up from surgery, we'll have some thoughts about what to do there.
Yeah, it's going to be a chess match for sure. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, that was crazy. I never seen a coach go down like that. Yeah.
There's awareness on zero. You're not watching the game, coach? Yeah. Get out the way. At least try to, I would have jumped or something.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. Well, I'm excited, man. Should be a good series.
I'm sure. I hope he recovers quickly. That's probably the most gruesome injury of the playoffs so far.
Yeah, a non-player.
Saw it immediately. I've watched way too much football to know. Yeah, that ligament is gone, pal.
Yeah.
Out of here. I've been on Trendy, Mark. I was on Trendy yesterday. I'm not sure. I didn't do the math on counting, but I do know this. My second guess express was the Pelicans team total under, which was 100.5. That went under. Of course, what I actually did for my cred pick was Aaron Gordon double-double. And I said he'd have 11 rebounds and 10 points. And he just stayed on 7 and just kept passing the ball to other people. And I was like, why don't you just go dunk it and get fouled, Aaron Gordon? Why don't you just go do that? But yeah, so that was a rough one. That was a rough one. But I'll be back. You know the one that you have to play throughout the week, the heater one?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give you one guess what I played.
I'm going to say you did. I was going to say Minnesota, but they're done. So it can't be them. Something with them. Orlando. You probably did Orlando. Orlando money line or covering.
Yep. I say, give me Orlando money line and every game they play from now until the series is over.
Okay. Okay.
The basketball gods will not let Cleveland survive this travesty that they made the regular season.
It's a good thing to know your partner. I had to think, I was like, okay, it's not Anthony Edwards because they're done. What's the next thing he's been on? Oh, yeah, there we go, Orlando.
I can't wait. That's the game I'm most excited for tonight. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll do our lemon pepper parlays. Let's go ahead and drop our lemon pepper parlays. And before we do that, let's go ahead and update everybody. Bojan Bogdanovic just came down the wire. Season-ending surgery to repair foot and wrist injury. So the Knicks, who already have a famously short bench, that bench is getting a little bit shorter as the former Detroit Piston, now New York Knick, will be done for the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's a pretty big loss. You know, I mean, he gives you about 15 minutes off the bench. He's one of their best shooters, obviously, if not their best shooter. So, yeah, that's something to monitor for sure to see how they play without him. But as far as my lemon pepper parlay goes, I'm fading you, man. I know you're doing your Orlando Magic heater money line throughout the week. I like you for game 6, though, but not tonight. I got the Cavs covering the spread -5. In both the games in Cleveland, they've won by a total of 14 and 10. And then they got blown out in the two games in Orlando. So I think that trend kind of continues in this series. So I like them -5. And then I'm pairing that with the Sixers +4. I didn't go money line and played a little safe there. I couldn't go all the way in on that. But I do think they show some pride tonight and keep it close if not win. So I got both those plays at +273.
Imagine saying you're playing it safe when you picked a bunch of losers to cover the spread. Disgusting. I'll go ahead and I'll take the Indiana Pacers to mercifully and thankfully end what has been the second half from hell for the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's going to be a team with a lot of questions going forward, more questions than answers. Milwaukee, we'll get one question answered tonight, and that's where are we going on vacation, because Indiana should take care of them. I'll take them on the money line. And I am going with the guy who I've been riding with now ever since he went back-to-back games in the Western Conference semifinals, scoring over 30 points with the number one dog out. You know what he stepped in and did? Played the number one dog role and had the presumptive defensive player of the year this year, Rudy Gobert, looking on skates. Didn't know what to do with him. And not to mention that, he's a whole foot and a half shorter. I'm going with Jalen Brunson and the New York Knickerbockers to go ahead and then let Joel Embiid rest his knee up until the Team USA, which I said this on Trendy yesterday. Joel Embiid playing for Team USA is like the kid who uses his grandma's address to go to the public school they really want to, as opposed to the one that live in a district. Like, that is funny paperwork. I'll just say that. Funny paperwork.
That's the perfect analogy. It feels really, really dirty. It really does.
It's not the best. They said, we're sick of having Bam Adebayo be the starting center on this team. We need somebody with some scoring punch. And they're going to get it. And they'll get him fully rested because the Knicks are going to end their series tonight.
Well, I guess based on my plays, I can tell you good luck, even though I do want the Sixers to win. but I got them covering the spread for my actual play so the Knicks can still win. So I guess I can tell you good luck.
I'm fundamentally opposed and unable to tell you good luck because you bet on a bunch of losers.
You know, I'll be texting you tonight during the games.
We'll bunch of yellow bellied cowards.
I'll be texting you tonight, buddy.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch. When Donovan Mitchell was 1-for-12, we start in the third quarter.
You know, we'll see how the text goes. He's back at home. He's gonna cook tonight at home. He's gonna cook tonight. Take his overs.
We'll see.
See you next week.